Each of us are ministers of the gospel. Each one of us are ministers of the gospel.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincannon Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church. Today's scripture lesson is going to come from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. The whole world had one language with a common vocabulary. As people moved toward the east, they found a plain in Shinar, Babylonia, and settled there. They said to one another, "Let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used bricks as stones and tar as mortar. Then they said, "Let's build a city for ourselves and a tower with its top in the sky. Let's make a name for ourselves so that we won't become scattered all over the face of the earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the descendants of Adam were building. The Lord said, "They are one people with one language. This is only the beginning of what they will do. Now nothing they plan to do will be too difficult for them. Let us go down there and mix up their language so that they won't understand each other." So the Lord scattered them all over the face of the earth, and they stopped building the city. This is why it was named Babel, because there the Lord turned the language of the whole earth into Babel. From that place, the Lord scattered them all over the face of the earth. This is the account of Shem and his descendants. 2 years after the flood, when Shem was 100 years old, he became the father of Arphaxad. After he became the father of Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and had other sons and daughters.
I would remind you that December the 10th you want to have on your calendar, because that will be the evening at 6 o'clock that the choir will do their annual Christmas cantata. And we'll be glad to have anybody who wants to join us to sing downstairs in the fellowship hall right below us at 11:30. We'll take all singers. It doesn't mean you have to sing on key. This will be the last Sunday I'm going to talk about being a missional church. Hooray, you can shout now. But I looked at things over this week and I said, I think this will be where we'll stop. And not that we won't ever talk about being a missional church again, we will. But this is the last in that series, and I want to move on to some other lessons before we move into our Christmas cycle that we'll do beginning with the first Sunday in December. But I want to take off from where we left off with the book of Genesis and go back to Acts chapter 2, a story that we frequently read at the beginning or the Sunday of Pentecost, but it fits very nicely with this sermon this morning and with adding the Tower of Babel, about how important language is as we talk about sharing the faith, sharing the story, and going out into the world to share that same story. So hear these words again as they come from Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 down to verse 11. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of the fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested upon each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arab, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others shouted and sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. We're called to be sent out. We're called to be missionaries. We're called to share the message of Jesus Christ. We're called out. We're called to be sent. We're called to be witnesses in Van Buren. We're called to be witnesses wherever we are and invite others into that community of faith. That's not new news to you. We've talked about that over the last several weeks. But we must learn the language for the place where we live. And this week I was with my clergy colleagues, and we were with our Clergy Covenant Day, and we had a presentation around the idea of how to talk to one another. And it was interesting because this young lady from the University of Alabama, now Southern Methodist University, shared with us that each of us have language cards. And those language cards have to do with our culture as well. And you may have as many as 3 or 4 cards. You may have one card that describes who you are as a person, and that you're a woman, and you're a white woman, and you're so many years of age, and you grew up in a certain community. You may have a card that describes your occupation. You may have a card that describes your profession. You may have a card that describes your character. And all of those cards have something to say about the language that we speak and the language that we use as we communicate with one another, because those tell a lot about who we are and where we've come from and what matters to us and what has influenced us over time. So if you think about your own life, think about the things that you have encountered in life, the things that you've experienced, your education, your occupation, all of those begin to have an impact on who you are and how you work with folks. And so then when we come together to have a conversation, all of those cards, all of the information on those cards then comes to bear in how we then communicate with one another. And very often what happens is if we think about ourselves in the course of two circles, and you are over here and I'm over here, and we're talking, and sometimes that's where the violence comes, because we're not really communicating, we're not really talking to one another. But when those two circles begin to intermingle, and they begin to come together around our commonalities and how we understand one another, that's when real communication begins to happen, because we begin to understand one another at the level that we're in common and the level that we understand one another because of our experience and the like. And part of that has a lot to say about what's happening in our world today, because we're coming from so many different directions and we're not thinking about the cards that we have and the describing factors that we have that explain where we've come from and the context from which we've come. And so we go out into the world and we talk, but we don't come together. We don't hear one another. We don't experience one another. We don't fully understand one another. And so when we go out into the world to attempt to engage with people that may be different than us, maybe are more unusual than we are, we have to know what those language cards are, at least for ourselves, and begin to know what their cards may look like so that we can work with those that we have been sent out to be with. You know, and years ago, back in the 40s and 50s, we sent folks off to missionary school and we said, go off and make them be like carbon copies of yourself. And we learned that that wasn't the way to do missionary work. We needed to allow them to be who they were, work within their context, not change them into native United States Caucasian Americans, but to be like themselves. And to be who they were in their context. And we see that play out in Peter when he is in Acts. And he is asked to come and visit. And Peter, you remember, was a little nervous about hanging out with people that were different than he was. He considered them to be unclean. And God gave him a vision up on that roof. Dropped a sheet down and there were all different kinds of characters in that sheet. And he began to realize that God intended for them not to be just with their own kind, but be with people of other kinds, and that those other people were not deemed to be unclean, because after all, God had created, God had made them, and they were just as clean as he was. And so we have to figure out, what are the differences between us, and how do we come together at the table in order to work together and to be in contact with one another? Because we're all missionaries. We're all missionaries. One of the things that I found striking when I was looking at the discipline last week was that there used to be a statement that said, we're all ministers of the gospel of Christ. And it's interesting that statement has been taken out. And I don't know who took that out, but I'd like for them to have asked me before they took it out, because it was a good statement. The minister is not just the person who stands in front of you on Sunday morning and is deemed as the pastor and the minister that is called and sent by the conference, but each of us are ministers of the gospel. Each one of us are ministers of the gospel. Now, I do ministry maybe differently than you do ministry, but that doesn't make it any less important or any less valuable. We talk about being set apart as clergy. We may be set apart for certain tasks, but the same way you are set apart for tasks that you are capable and qualified and able to do because of the gifts that God has given to you in your unique missionary context and setting. So we're all being sent. We're all missionaries. We're asked to live in that context. So what does that context look like? We have to understand that in that context of today, we're being asked to sent out to serve the unchurched. One of the statistics that we saw this week was that in Indiana, give or take a few thousand, there are 1.4 million people who don't know who Jesus Christ is. And they are unchurched. Now, those 1.4 million don't all live in Van Buren, obviously. If they were, this room would be full, would it not? Probably not. But there would not be enough room if they all decided to come here. Wouldn't that be a wonderful problem to have? If they all decide to show up here. But even if a portion of that 1.4 million found its way in the door, that would be a wonderful problem as well. It would be an opportunity. So there are part of that 1.4 million that are out there beyond these doors today who are unchurched, who are what we call gnomes. They're either de-churched, they're unchurched, or they've fallen away from church. They've had a bad experience. They've never heard the gospel. They've said, I don't want any part of the church. They're part of that 1.4 million people that we're being called. We're being sent to be with. So God is asking us to reach the unchurched, the de-churched, the unhappy churched, the folks who haven't heard. And our message is very simple. You heard it in the song. Rescue the perishing. And there are plenty of folks out there that are perishing today. They're struggling with addiction. You know, I met a couple last Sunday afternoon in Upland. Both know they need treatment. Offered them ABLH. Offered them the opportunity to get treatment. And weren't quite sure. Weren't quite ready. And that's unfortunate because who knows how much longer they have to go. And I was not afraid to tell them, and I was unabashedly not afraid to say, we talk about God. We talk about Jesus. We talk about the fact that God and Jesus can help you with this problem. Doesn't mean you're a sinner. I didn't even use that language. But that God can be your way to a better life. We called a treatment center and tried to get them set up, and unfortunately they wanted to both go at the same time. We don't do that in treatment because that just doesn't work. And I knew that before we called, but I didn't want to scare them to death. And so I said, which one of you needs to go the worst? Which one of you needs to go the worst? Let's get one of you there first, and then we'll bring the other one along. No, can't do that. We've got to both go together. We've got to be there for one another, which makes sense. So Tuesday, I called them. Can I come get you for a meeting? Can I come bring you to Van Buren for a meeting? Well, I'll have to talk to my girlfriend. So will you call me? You let me know if you want to come. Well, 6 o'clock came and went. 6:15 came and went. And no call. We need to pray for that couple. Seed's been planted. They have to decide how desperate they get. So there are perishing folks out there. There are folks out there who need to be saved, who need to be saved from themselves, who need to be saved from all kinds of disasters that are happening in their life. There are people who need to hear. There are kinfolk who need to hear. There are people who need to know about the cost, about the cross, like the song said. And we're the ones to do it. We're the ones to do it because we know. We know how the story turns out, do we not? Do you all know how the rest of this story goes? Do you? I hope so. That's what folks need to hear. This is the good news. This story is the most important thing that anybody ever needs to know. And we have the news. We have the opportunity to tell them. But we have to adapt that message so that they can understand it. We don't need to tell them who begat who and who begat so-and-so and who begat so-and-so and who begat somebody else. That's not important. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, why did they put that in there? I said, I haven't any idea. But I'm sure there's a sermon behind it somewhere, but we're not going to worry about that. That's not what's most important. The most important thing is that Jesus died on the cross, saved us from our sin, and promises us a life everlasting. And our job is to share that message. And so we have to find in our language cards how we share that message with other folks. We shared the features of early Christianity. We need to live as those who lived in the time of Acts. We need to live together in community. We need to share what we have in common. We need to share with, help people with the issues that they're struggling with, and break bread together with them. Sit down and have a meal with them. Sit down and share the sacrament with them. They may not fully understand the sacrament, but we need to share it with them. We're asked to share the good news. What does that look like? Now, there's nothing wrong with tracts. There's nothing wrong with handing folks the Roman road and the plan of salvation. Those are all fine ways. But if I don't have any clue about who God is, I'm probably not going to understand the Roman road. I'm probably not going to understand the four steps of salvation. I need you to tell me what Jesus has done for you. I need you to share with me how God makes a difference in your life. What's your 30-second elevator story? That somebody walks onto the elevator with you and says, I need to know about Jesus Christ. What do you tell them? I'm going to tell them that Jesus is the God of love, the person that can take care of any issues that they might have, and that he wants to be their best friend. That'd probably not even 30 seconds. But that gets us an opportunity to start the story. There might even be a question come, well, say more. And then we get to have a dialogue. We have to have that 30-second elevator conversation ready. We have to have our plan ready for how we tell. How do we talk to somebody? How are you today? Good. How is it with your life? Not so hot. I noticed you've been coming to church lately. How did you get started? I had that conversation not too long ago with somebody. Somebody that I've known for a good long while. And I just said to her, because I didn't remember. I should remember, but I didn't. But it wasn't the story that I thought it was going to hear. But I said to this person, I said, remind me, tell me how it was that you decided to come to this particular church. And she began to tell me the story. And so from that story, we have the opportunity to say, well, so how is it with, you know, and continuing that conversation with that person. How is it going with your soul? Wesley used to ask the folks in that day, how is it with your soul? That's a really thought-provoking question, isn't it? How is it with your soul? Now, you all know what happened when people ask you, and you've done this, you've gone to the doctor comes in, how are you? And you say, fine. Well, if you're fine, what are you doing at the doctor's office? Unless you're there for your yearly physical, and you are fine. But most of the time we go to the doctor, we're not fine. So we lie. Because we don't really want to tell the truth. So, how is it with your soul? How is it down deep here in your heart where you are with God? Now, you may not want to share that deep, dark secret with this new friend that you're working on. But you want to tell them about how it has changed because of Jesus in your life. When we're real and authentic, and we're not being religious, we can begin to share from our experience. Now, that may be a little risky sometimes because it means we have to get vulnerable. And I don't know about you, but being vulnerable is not something that I'm always real comfortable with. Because I don't like to cry in public. I don't like to get in that kind of a spot. But you know what? Sometimes that we have to do that. They have to see us for who we are. They have to see us face on. They shouldn't see us with that mask that we put on for the rest of the world to hide what's really going on behind the mask. And we all have one that we put on, whether we realize it or not, because we want to hide behind that. But when we're dealing with folks who need to hear and see the gospel, they need to see us with our veil off, with our mask off, and being real and being authentic as we really are. Now that, as I said, is going to get risky, and it may get messy, because it's going to mean that as you're being sent out, as you're going into context, You're going to encounter people that you might not really want to encounter. It's those folks with those tattoos that God's been working with me on, and I'm getting better about that. I'm getting so I can look past those tattoos, you know? Because they're all out there. They're all over the place. But God sends me those folks, so I have to deal with them. And I have to learn to see them as God sees them. What's the messy thing that you don't want to deal with? What's the messy thing that you don't want to deal with? Oh, God, don't send me that. That may be the very thing that God sends you to deal with. Because he knows he wants to work with you about that. And then he may just send you a plain old John Q. Public that's just normal as you are, that hadn't heard the gospel either. But nevertheless, it means we have to be willing to be risky. We have to be willing to be vulnerable and be willing to share the story of Jesus in our life, in our context. So if we finish this cycle, my questions to you are this. Are you willing to be sent out? Are you willing to go out? You know, remember that text in Matthew. Take all authority and go. Doesn't say stay comfortable. Go out there and be with the people. Teach everything I've taught you. Being willing to risk with those I'm going to send you to. And I will be with you even unto the end of the age. I will be with you every day and every day and every day. Are you willing to learn the language and live in those folks' context? Might even mean you'll hear some words you don't really want to hear sometimes. Doesn't mean you have to use them, but you might have to hear them. Who knows? Are you willing to share your story? Willing to risk being vulnerable? Willing to risk being messy? To be sent out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people in Van Buren, the people in Marion, the people in Kokomo, the people in wherever you are? Because God's inviting you to go. He's asking you to be willing to share. So the question is yours, and you have to answer it for yourself. I'll be happy to help you, but you have to decide for yourself whether you're willing to go and do what God needs you to do. Amen.
Thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning, and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living. a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.